Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Actually, a fairly mild day in the Midwest, so I'm ready to work outside because it's about 15 degrees to 20 degrees cooler than it often is this time of year, and no real heat index values. But since I didn't put out an episode, I worked on one for about Wednesday, and I was like, didn't quite like it, didn't finish it. That happens. Then I just end up doing, you know, better research or continue to have it in my mind better. I wanted to put one out today. And what this is a emphasis of truth based on an episode called, A Culture Apothecary. Let me see if I can find that real quick. I think it's Culture Apothecary and it's Del Bigtree. But let me look really quickly and make sure I got that right. Yeah, Culture Apothecary with Alex Clark. And this is a recent episode called, the title's going by, but it's with Del Bigtree, and he is somebody who was with the Doctors program on TV and then realized, the vaccine situation and quit his job there. And when he did, then he's become a big expert. And I want to emphasize something from that. And the question from the host is basically, you know, what are the facts that if the if parents understood them, the most obvious facts that it would make them question whether or not they should be giving their children vaccines. So I want you to listen to this and then we'll pop back over.
The fact that not a single one of these vaccines ever went through a safety trial. Full stop. The only way you determine safety in a pharmaceutical product is a double-blind, placebo-based study where one group gets the product, the other group gets a saline injection that has no effect on the human body, and you track their health outcomes for, you know, at least, in most drug cases, 2 years, 6 years. They never, ever did that on a single childhood vaccine. So there's no way to say that the product is safe. And then there's never been a study comparing the 72, and now, when you start adding COVID and the new vaccines coming, it could be as high as 90 vaccines by the time you're 18. There has never been one single study ever done comparing kids who get 72 vaccines to those that get none. And so if you have no concept if they're safe, and you've never proven that kids that get vaccinations are healthier than those that don't, then I just have a standard principle where I don't inject myself or my kids with products that have never been through a safety study. And I want evidence that these things actually make us healthier.
Do you believe that the
All right. So there you go. I mean, when I tell you something with certainty, I don't always say the facts up front, but it's because I've done the research and I've done the background. I'm not ever saying believe me just because I said it, but it's just an example. If I say things without certainty, then yeah, I mean, I'm being very honest. So what did he say? He said no clinical trials that actually involved true, and I said this in a recent episode regarding most pharmaceuticals, I believe, that regarded true using a saline solution, placebo over a period of time for safety. None. I've told you that instead they do this thing called surrogate outcomes or surrogate, it's not statistics, but they're using a surrogate factor to then imply effectiveness. It's not the clinical outcome, i.e. a cancer, does it make the cancer better does survival rate go up, as cancer is usually considered a fatal outcome? And there are not those studies. I've told you that, and in fact, then there's some where it's like, oh, no, we make the argument that even kids that get the, HPV? That's not right. Some virus, that might be it. Then they're more likely to get cancer as adults. There's no study there. There's not even a proper surrogate, measure there. There's not. Because now you're not even saying, well, we're trying to treat cancer, or we're substituting a no more increase in growth of the tumor to whether or not there's better life-death outcomes. Because there is no tumor. You're now arguing that if an 11-year-old or a 13-year-old gets this quote vaccine, then they don't get the cancer. I think I always say vaccine versus virus because they're so much the same. You might as well just say them interchangeably. but yeah, as to that, like there is no outcome. There is no outcome that they can even measure. Do you think they've done a kid at 11 or 12 to understand if cancer survival rates are different? That's a 20 to 50 year study. Do you think they've done those studies? Answer, they haven't. During that episode, I told you that, and I didn't tell you, the episode did, the source did, that not only that, but that they knew for those, which was not around vaccines, that there were basically never really true studies, often fake placebo studies, even just comparing them to other drugs that might have bad side effects. So to get the happy medium between a quote safe and truly safe, which is versus nothing, they allow a placebo that's another drug. So if you're smart and you know that as a drug manufacturer, that something is wildly unsafe, has a wild amount of side effects, but you want your new drug to be approved, just let the, quote, placebo be the already approved drug, and then your statistical difference in safety measures is by definition going to be much harder to reach. So in that episode, we said, and this isn't even about vaccines, it's about regular pharmaceuticals. How many of them didn't got approved, and then they didn't even, it's just that the FDA said, hey, you got a promise to do actual safety and effectiveness after this is on the market. And then some ridiculous percentage, you go back and listen to that, were either behind their due date for doing the study, in that, you know, possibly it could still be within the date expected, but typically it would be kind of 5 years. You can go back and listen to that episode. It might have been 3 to 5. Like, okay, but you got to do a real study for safety and effectiveness. Under this quote accelerated pathway to drug approvals, they're like, okay, fine, don't prove it before, but prove it after. Listen to me right now. Go listen to the episode, but in essence it was, fine, you don't have to prove it before, but prove it after. Listen to me right now. And in that episode, we said, this isn't even regarding vaccines. This isn't even as to, oh no, over a period, so a period of 1992, or at least it was the last 20 years, that study, that was a meta study, looked at how many were supposedly on the accelerated pathway and how many of them never completed their study, their post-market study. A wild percentage of them did not complete their study. That they were obligated to the FDA. And that's without the vaccines. But vaccines have, you know, lawsuit immunity. So why would you think they'd be better? And so here you go. This is the other half of that argument. None of them have had any real, true placebo trials. But wait, not only that, but as I said, every time we pass toxicity into our environment and approve, whether it's generally regarded as safe, GRAS ingredients, quote, ingredients, they're chemicals, they're preservatives, they're toxins into our food, or other things, what we do is act like, whether we study them or not, the argument is, oh, you take such a small dose, it doesn't matter. Well, but thousands of those things have entered into our environment and been introduced. So you're not talking about small doses overall. You're not even talking about small doses of the individual things. I've told you as regards things like cyanocobalamin, which is the vitamin B12 source. Oh, you're getting B12. Awesome. Great. The processing of cyanocobalamin is from human waste facilities. And it makes sense that vitamin B12 might grow because they feed algae into those systems so that the algae helps, and bacteria, don't quote me on either one, it's algae or bacteria, helps process the human waste in these facilities. And so that makes sense that because there's biology going on, the biology itself, the bacteria, the algae, are what really create the vitamin B12. But then in order to refine that, to refine it out, they have to use cyanide. Now, you can go look in many places. When I did this episode, I told you that I looked to see. Now, is there any question that there is some amount of detoxification that must occur since it's cyanocobalamin, which is the overwhelming amount. If you go to a Walgreens or if you go to like a Kroger-type store, the overwhelming amount of B12 is cyanocobalamin, which does require your body to detoxify. Is it the same as cyanide? It's not the same as straight cyanide, but they use cyanide, and sources agree that detoxification is necessary. But the amount is such that they make the argument, it's no big deal. You don't take that much B12. Well, now B12's everywhere. I told you it's the same thing as the, well, we'll get rid of fertilizer waste products, fertilizer industry waste products, by calling it fluoride, even though fluoride is just one of many that are in the waste products. And we'll call it fluoride so that we can get rid of this fertilizer industry waste product by, what's the word I'm looking for? By just putting it in water, mass amounts of water. I'm just forgetting the word right now. So that way it's okay. It's not harmful in any given amount of water, but that's what it is. It's waste products from the fertilizer industry. And among the things that are in it, as well as arsenic and lead, are fluoride. So they call it fluoride, but it's really just getting rid of a industrial waste product. You can go find the studies, as I said multiple times, if you need any more proof of that, that it's not refined fluoride. You can find studies that literally look to see how much of the fluoride used in fluoridation for water, quote-unquote, is fluoride, how much of is arsenic, how much of it is lead and the like. So it is an industrial waste. And so going back to the B12, well, yeah, if the argument is you don't take too much, I mean, how many people, you know, that properly supplement on B12, and so who cares if it's cyanocobalamin? Well, now it's the main source of, quote, B12. It's just diluting, is the word I was looking for, diluting industrial waste. And under the name of that, we call it a certain supplement. So, going back to the earlier argument, generally regarded as safe, fluoride, B12. We go, oh, don't worry, you don't take enough of that now. Except now that you do, because it's in everything. You can look in literally little carbonated fruit drinks that are at like a Aldi or the cheap section of a Walmart or a Kroger's, you know, group of grocery stores. And they'll have B12 in them, even if you didn't, that's not even why you're getting it. It's not an energy drink. But they'll puke B12 into that. And it will be cyanocobalamin. The Walgreens version, the brand of B12 is cyanocobalamin. So all of a sudden you're getting a lot more of cyanocobalamin, which is refined via cyanide. And regarding these vaccines, and going back to the main point, his Del Bigtree's whole point is there. Well, it's not even like you're just doing a, which you're not doing, but let's say, hypothetically, you're comparing and then saying, well, don't worry, it's a small amount for your argument of non-statistical significance or close to statistical significance. It's a small amount. You don't take that big of a dose. Yeah, but now you're talking about 72, and now he said closer to 90 for the whole vaccine schedule. I think he may have said you can listen to the rest of the article. Listen to the rest of the episode, but by the time you're 18, it's not like it's one that you're comparing it to. You're comparing the deleterious effects of a series of 90. That's entirely different. So when I tell you that my, again, don't trust me. But at some point, you know, start to respect me as a source when I don't go into detail. And then go look it up yourself. But please listen to the rest of that episode. I'm sure it's going to be devastating. I just wanted to lead with that idea. Again, I believe it was Culture Apothecary, and it's Del Bigtree, just released. I think it was released recently, really. A friend of mine said, would I take, you know, what do you think of the shingles vaccine? And I shared, well, they're mostly all bullshit. They're marginally potentially effective. I said, if they have it adjusted to the mRNA that hijacks your protein forming function to merely create a facsimile, but it might be wrong because that then overdo the protein, and that's the definition of cancer, is your body creating cells out of control. And mRNA vaccines tell your body to create proteins without giving a limiting factor on them. And then we wonder why it's creating cancer. Also recall the little side point that where I thought, well, wait a second, if it's stuck up in the deltoid, then why would it be creating all these spike proteins in the blood? Because they specifically let pharmacists apply them for the first time, and they don't, I think, I can't remember the term for this, but it is true, and after I saw it, I then talked to a pharmacist, just casually, who was on the same vacation as me, aspirate. They didn't tell the pharmacist to aspirate. So what that is pushing it as far as you think. Are you in the bloodstream? And what you do then is suck before you insert. You pull the a siphon back on the syringe and see if you're pulling blood. If you're pulling blood, you know you are in the artery or the vein, whichever they put it in. I imagine artery. Point is, if you miss it, or if you hit it and you don't want it to be there because you're trying to put it into the muscular area so that it stays, then you don't want to hit an artery. So you just pull briefly, make sure you're not in an artery. If you're in an artery, you adjust. You push it down further, see if you're in an artery. If you placed it in an area that you probably know that you're not in a very arterial area or a venous area, you're probably good, but you still check that. But they did not get told the instructions to even do that. So I saw that allegation, and then I, you know, talked to a pharmacist. And when I saw the allegation, I saw the instructions. So all of a sudden, you're going from doctors to doing it to pharmacists, and then even lesser, pharmacists in training and a bunch of other people. So you're going from tens of thousands of people who can administer this to millions of people who can administer this. Hundreds of thousands and a million, or more than a million or 2 million. With the lesser levels of expertise. And you don't even give them the same instructions. You don't even give them the same safety instructions. So when we talk about vaccine safety and how, well, what harm would it do? It's stuck up in the deltoid. So I was like, why are we getting all these allegations that it's all over the body? How can spike proteins be all over the body if you have introduced this only into the deltoid, into the muscular area of the deltoid? And that was why. And so if the instructions are the same and other pharmacists are allowed to give these other shots, I don't know which ones they've been given since then, since you opened the dam, since you put your foot in the door, that the doctors don't have to apply them, then of course all drug companies, so that they get more product sold and more product given, are going to make the argument that pharmacists and other people should be able to apply them, emergency or not. But regardless, pharmacists are going to push it. If we did not say, okay, COVID-19 is not an emergency anymore, so no, now doctors have to give it. No, I guarantee you, I mean, I'm 99%, I'm not 100. That never got pulled back. Never got pulled back. So, of course, they're going to be pushing free COVID vaccines, pharmacists get to deliver them, and the drug companies still get paid, and so do the pharmacy. So does the pharmacy. Of course they're going to be pushing COVID-19 vaccines. So again, the only reason I looked down this and kind of revisited, because a friend of mine said, what do you think of the shingles vaccine? Well, I said, it's like most of them, it's largely bullshit. Minimally effective, most likely. But, you know, potentially more safe if it's not an mRNA vaccine, because at least it's not going to have the body create proteins without telling it when to stop. If it's a traditional dead vaccine or minimally live vaccine, I made the argument that probably makes a big difference as to efficacy. Because we always act like things are only the physical we see and not the energy involved. And who's to say that the original vaccines that were live, probably harder to make and harder to distribute, were really more effective because the body saw them differently because they were live. Forget the argument of, you know, exactly what a virus is and all that. I know there's those arguments out there. What I'm saying is there's a category where it's live, but it's weakened. A weakened live vaccine. Because if it was way live, I mean, you know, not weakened, then you go, basically you're giving the person the thing. Maybe not in quite the doses. Maybe when they get the vaccines, get the viruses, they, you know, get a handful of cells or dozens of cells or hundreds of cells, as opposed to the more limited amount when you give a live weakened virus. But this is twice removed. This is have your body mRNA are twice removed, not live, weakened, not dead viruses, but at least it's the carcass of the viruses. Both of those are the actual viruses. This is hijack the body to create a facsimile of some part of the virus so that the immune system is allegedly going to be more ready to respond to the virus. Largely bullshit. Safety and effectiveness, largely bullshit, and especially safety. So Dell Big Tree, no safety studies done. Not real ones. Not long-term, not with real placebos. None. Ever. Let alone against 72 to 90. A regimen of 72 to 90. What is that? A cumulative safety profile versus not giving any of them. What is that cumulative effectiveness profile versus not giving any of them? Of course, they have not studied that in any measure. And why would they give a shit to? They're immune to lawsuits. When my friend asked me about the shingles and said, well, I don't know. I mean, if it's absolutely traditional and not mRNA, maybe it's mildly effective. I don't really believe so, but it could be mildly effective. Really no more than just getting the dang thing for a healthy person. But there's no way on God's green earth a healthy person needs to take the shingles vaccine when they're 50. Bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. But I said, if it's a traditional vaccine and not an mRNA, then yeah, maybe it's relatively safe and you're not harming yourself. Don't believe the bullshit that you need it if you're healthy. And I really don't think it makes any sense, whether even if you have a compromised immune system, and all I mean by that is not clinically diagnosed as compromised, but because you don't have a good diet, because you have different chronic conditions, I don't believe it's probably effective. But again, I'm no doctor. So I said, well, I mean, you can. I will never, ever take one. Because I'm not going to believe the marketing when I know the science behind it is bullshit and not actual science. It's argument dressed as science because it's still considered a safety cow and half the sacred cow. And half of the reason it's considered a sacred cow is, well, why wouldn't it be absolutely something that should not be questioned if we don't even allow them to be sued? Hello? So yeah, listen to that culture apothecary and... It's with Dell Big Tree. I'm not sure it's a totally recent episode, but you can look for it and you'll be able to find it. And I'm sure it's going to be gem after gem. And I'll go back to my working on my yard and listen to the rest. So, hey guys, have a great weekend, and thanks for listening to the Scales of Truth.